You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. It feels like it's been a bit. But
I think it's only been a week, right?
I know, but I think because we recorded that like a week before.
Oh, yeah,
been so long. So
I feel like so much is happening, too, over the summer that's different. It's like hard to gauge. I actually was with someone today, and I was like, remember what last week? They were like, that was 5 weeks ago. I was like, oh,
so
okay.
True.
All right.
I think the biggest difference right now, because people are like, oh, it's summer. It's a little slower. I was like, actually, it's a
really
little busier. The only difference is we're not spending every night doing homework, which is a game changer for our family. And it's just not.
Is a game
in
changer.
The evenings to be home and not doing.
We don't really have sports right now. Either.
There's not extra.
Yeah.
There's
no
not
Wednesday
extra.
Night activities.
Yeah, so it is nice, even though things have not slowed down here in terms of workload, things and home. It's just a little easier. So that's nice. Yeah, summer going okay for you so far?
It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. And man, and we got the New York trip.
Yeah, leaving Sunday.
I mean, that's exciting. And we got Uganda folks are in the air right now as this is dropping. So
they leave on Tuesday 7th, too, or are they leaving on tomorrow?
They are leaving on 7-3. No, whatever day.
They're not there yet.
Yeah, they're not there yet. No, they got a long way to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
sweet. Good things. How about you? Good summer?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, it's a little slower in terms of the kids and activities and but we're doing okay. It's been good. This past week is the first week all eight of us have been home all summer because of Infuge Camp and Josiah was gone to camp and kids camp and
we
kids,
haven't
at,
had
grandpa-
that yet,
kids at grandparents. So this past week is the first week. And then three of my family members are going to New York. So next week we'll not be together again.
We actually won't have a week. Now, there have been like a Friday, Saturday that we're all here.
Yeah.
But we will not have a week that we're all here. Yeah.
Man.
Isn't that wild?
And it is wild. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Until July.
Until September after school starts.
July 14th. And it's like school's already coming. Even though it's starting late this year.
It is. Like we got a little, I think we're all going to be feeling that beginning of August. Like, isn't that time? We're like, no, we got two more weeks. It is what it is, though. All right. Well, I'm kind of anxious about our topic today. Just kidding. I mean, but we're talking about anxiety, following up from this past week's sermon from Philippians chapter 4, 4-7. And why don't I pull that up? And just read that, and then we'll dive in. And then we have a few questions we'll ask and answer. And so here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4-7. I slowed my speech down to give me enough time to find it. Here we go.
Good job.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Are you mouthing along? Sweet. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be the reading of God's word. All right.
Amen.
So let's talk about it. What is the big deal about anxiety? And why does everyone seem so
Jerry Seinfeld? What is the big deal about anxiety?
Why are you so worried?
Yeah.
I guess really, I think, is it that we are more anxious or are we just more aware of anxiety? Both.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think, and let me give a little disclaimer. Jeremy Hefner said that we should really focus on Boggy Talk and clinical anxiety and how different churches approach anxiety. And I think we will look to getting an expert and coming on and talking about that. So that's not what this is. This is more so just kind of from Sunday, stirring up the water a little more from Sunday.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think the answer to your question is both. I think that we are more aware. And at the same time, specifically the internet, social media, I think there are direct links being shown and there are indirect links that are not as clear, but I think are pointing to the fact that it is causing more anxiety.
And I think if you talk to people are just like, oh, I'm just worried about this. I'm worried about this. I'm anxious about this.
Yeah.
And you said this on Sunday, and we are, for purposes of this conversation, kind of making a delineation between, a differentiation between like clinical anxiety and, you know, anxiety that or worry.
Right.
Because, like you said, you know, we could bring an expert in on that. And I think that's a great point. I actually was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about how pastors like will read a book and then like teach like they're experts now a thing. And I'm like, hey, like we do need to be really informed about this, but I'm not an expert. Yeah. On this, you know, we got to be informed, but I'm not going to teach like, hey, I read this book by a PhD on anxiety, so now I know everything.
Can I? Yeah, I don't know why I'm asking permission to say this. So like,
I will allow this.
Like, at the risk of sounding a little like dismissive of some people, like the reason I am like, hey, I'm not going to fully go into clinical anxiety here is because I'm studying what this text is actually talking about, not doing a topical sermon where then I look to what the world says about anxiety and the scriptures. And I'm just teaching what the scripture is saying about it, with the recognition now that there is also clinical anxiety. And that's not necessarily what Paul's talking about. And I'll just kind of refer back to yesterday. Like, so having clinical anxiety doesn't mean that you have an excuse now not to obey the Lord. Mm-hmm. But also it doesn't mean that it's the same direct thing. You know what was really cool yesterday?
Come on.
Man, someone came up to me after the service, who's in their 20s in tears and said they grew up in a church where they were taught that their anxiety was sin.
Oh.
And their parents then believe that. Their parents are like coming around now that both they and their sister have anxiety. And so I was thinking like, yeah, you know, that's cool. A young person and they're hearing it from a church. Then a lady in our church who is in her 80s emailed me.
Yeah.
And was like, hey.
Impressive that she emailed to begin with. Just
so messed up.
Just saying. But that's awesome.
No, 80-year-olds be emailing.
That's true. That's
80-year-olds be emailing. The other people be texting us. Texting, no boundaries. But, you know, like, we're very accessible. And unfortunately, we're very accessible.
Sorry, dear sister.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyway, you got me. I like that the roles have switched here. Right. You know, I'm being serious, trying to talk about something serious. And
I'm just over here derailing it. Yeah. Sorry.
So, and she mommy and said basically since the 90s, you know, she's felt that and she's kind of hit it. But then, you know, also like it's not, she knows she can't worry about tomorrow. Like she's got to function. And she's like, I used to be so worried about what people at the church thought about me about this.
Yeah.
And like God's brought her a victory of that. But then it just feels so freeing for her to hear a pastor talking about that the way he did. Like, anyway, I'm speaking about myself as a third person.
You know, I think one thing that like we can be just like we don't want like if I think all of us have to be honest and say that we deal with anxiousness or anxiety or worry on some level or not.
Yeah.
Others, some people seem like they don't worry, but they do. Like everyone at some level deals with this. We don't want to go the route of this being like, I'm an anxious person, so this is my identity. Like,
right. That's a great identify point. Us. And psychology does that today. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you err into it.
And at the same time, we can't be dismissive and say to someone who is legitimately struggling in anxiety and worry, like, oh, just get over it. Don't worry about it. Move on. Like you wouldn't say that to someone really in any other struggle where they desire to honor God, but they're struggling to do so. Mm-hmm. I mean, you wouldn't be dismissive. And so we want to have like an appropriately weighted response to this.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe an area where we've not done well in general, general terms.
Right. So kind of that being said, I mean, then like there is legitimate sin when we're, you know, I don't know if sin is even the right word. Paul's not necessarily saying it's a sin, but there's definitely legitimate, not being in line with God's will when we are letting worry guide us instead of trusting in the Lord.
Yeah. And you said something about the word, the Greek word anxious. The actual like, remind me what you said, because I'm like
the root word for the Greek word anxious. So not the word that's translated anxious, but the root word of that word is the same root word for the word anger.
Yeah. That was when you said that, I was like that.
So it's not really studied that. So
yeah, it's a reaction. Yes, it's a reaction to something. And I think that's a great way to frame worry. It's a reaction to something. And so what are we reacting to? I think you could fill in the blank. I mean, it could be I'm reacting to the fact that this is out of my control, and right. or I'm reacting to the fact that I don't like this, or I thought that life would be different, or this outcome would be different. And mm-hmm. so we're essentially reacting to something that really is outside of, or could be, right. I should say, outside of our control,
right.
but is not outside of the control of God.
That, and one of our, somebody, I also have to just pause and say, I have literally never received as much feedback mm-hmm. From a sermon as I did yesterday. Yeah. I think I said that right. I'm a little anxious about whether or not I said that right.
But, that's right.
And one of the groups that – one of the people that emailed me said their group was really talked about, like, the problem is we are so in control in our society. Mm-hmm. And anytime something, you know, is out of our control, like, we really struggle with it.
Yeah. That's a great point.
You know, I agree. Like, we have an unprecedented amount of control.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. As you said that, I was just thinking about, like, how the first thing that came to mind was some of the pastors we're supporting in India, and like our time when we spend with them, it's like we are so much better off financially. But we worry about finances probably more than they do.
We do. Yeah.
they're with them. They're like, God provides. And right. I think when you're forced in these situations where you have to rely on God, you tend to not worry because you know he's going to come through. And I'm not saying that we are always like that, but I think the more we feel in control, the more we are anxious about mm-hmm. the things that would potentially threaten that security.
I think so. There's so many studies. So you asked the question, like, are people more anxious or are we more aware of it? There are so many studies, and we're just beginning to understand this now, related to how COVID-19, the pandemic, has amplified feelings of insecurity, anxiety, and I even quoted, I'm trying to remember where it was from now. It was 2 weeks ago in a sermon, so that's old news. Six out of seven people say they struggle with insecurity since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
The COVID-19 pandemic disrupted our control.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was legitimate or not. I mean, I don't mean it's completely legitimate, but like,
you know what, we know
whether
what you
or
mean.
Not we responded the mm-hmm. way it showed everybody in this world how little control we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it amplified
mm-hmm.
what's in our heart. Like, it actually, for me, very quickly caused me to say, hey, I'm not in control.
Yeah, not.
And I've never been in control. Right. And I'm going to lean into whatever God's doing in this season. I think for those who aren't there,
mm-hmm.
it has disrupted their life, and even in subconscious ways.
And probably amplified anxiety.
Yes.
You know, I think, and worry. Because if you know that you're not in control and you don't have a source of if you don't have peace in something or someone who is in control, then you're just going to grab harder to the things that you thought you could control. And that's ultimately going to lead to more anxiety and worry, because those things will never give you what you're actually looking for.
Right.
And that just leads, it's a cycle. It just grows and grows and grows. So if we know that anxiety is the issue, what's the remedy? And I think that's where we have to turn. Like, I think no one's going to argue, or you shouldn't argue, like, anxiety is not an issue. It is. So what do we do about that?
Yeah.
And I think, one, we don't dismiss it. We deal with it. We don't over-amplify it and give it more power over us than it should. But we do take it to the Lord. And on Sunday, you talked about peace and really the peace of trusting in Christ, the peace that comes from, you know, I mean, that's what Paul taught. Paul talked about it first. The Bible talks about it.
I know. When people are like, that's a really good sermon, I'm like, it's because you really like the passage.
That's
like,
right. I mean,
it's a really good passage. I'm sure my jokes about living in a van down by the river.
It's
in
like
there,
those passages of like teaching from like Philippians 2 or Romans 5 or Romans 8. You're like, wow, and like, it's really the Bible. I mean, it's the Bible.
Thank Paul.
Revelation chapter 4, that picture of heaven. Wow. You know, it's also the word. But really,
they didn't say that when I was talking about Epaphroditus and Timothy.
That's right.
You know,
I think a big piece of this is the renewal of the mind. Like when Paul in Romans 12 too says that, be transformed, don't be conformed. I think this is a great illustration of when he says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Like, being anxious is the fruit of trying, and in many ways,
yeah,
not all the time, but being conformed to the patterns of this world, mm-hmm. and not being transformed. So the remedy is be transformed by the renewing of mm-hmm. your mind. And you will know God's will, his good, acceptable, and perfect will. A quote that I forget now who said it, but it's something that I remember. I wrote it down and I actually use this in
it was me.
That's right. I use this when I do premarital counseling with people because it's in my book that I like kind of came up with. I was like, in talking about feelings so and how
you.
We feel.
Oh, you no, came up with
it. I didn't come up with this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's you feelings are real, but feelings aren't true.
Yeah.
You can't change the way you feel, but you can change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, you will change how you feel. And I was like, that's
actually. I thought you were going to rhyme, and I was going to say Dr. Seuss.
Oh, no, it's not him. Yeah. I was like, that's a great way. Like, what you feel is real, but what you feel isn't necessarily the truth.
It was definitely not Bethel that that's, wrote
no,
that.
No, definitely not. I'm feeling this feeling. Oh, man, I just saw some.
Did you see the video about needing to forgive Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Did you see that? Man.
That's an episode right there. Actually, no, that's stupid. We don't need an episode of Boggy Talk on that. It's stupid. No. It's blasphemous. Forgive Jesus. Come on. All right, moving on. But when you like, when you acknowledge what you're actually feeling, and then you say, but here's what I need to do. Well, here's what's true. Right. Here's what the truth of God says about this. And that then changes how we're thinking and how we're feeling.
And the remedy is prayer. And so this is great. This is where I think we should sit for just a minute. Like where that lady who came up to me's church aired is they said psychiatry, medicine is of no value to the person who's struggling with anxiety. They erred, but where you can err the other way is by saying the answer to my worry and my anxiety is found in a pill. It's found in psychiatry. Psychiatry, medicine, science, whatever. Stupid the way I'm talking.
I know what you mean.
Are tools that can help us do what God has called us to do. And they're only in their proper place when that's the case. And so like we could even use this Bethel thing. Like the reason this guy's saying you need to forgive Jesus and the reason I saw a text between somebody who was defending that position is they're seeing the Bible through the lens of modern day New Age thought.
Right. It's me.
The Bible is the lens through which we see science and psychiatry, right? And so, like, we need to realize, okay, I need to pray and submit to God if I am anxious. Now, for some of us, because of trauma, because of whatever, it is helpful to seek additional tools so that we can pray and surrender to God. Like, if my leg is broken and I want to serve the Lord and it will not heal right, I will be deformed. It is okay that I go and get help, not so that I'm just good and can run, but so that I can run for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where we need to be with this.
Right.
So
100%. And that's how medicine can be useful. It can get you to a place that you can be healthy enough to deal with the things you've really got to deal with.
But the goal is to get to a place where I'm praying instead of worrying.
Yeah.
And where I'm going to God.
Yeah. And you're resting in that. I think you said, and it's just, you got to sit at the feet of Jesus with this. You got to, we got to be like, when we're feeling this, like a great place to start is like when you're feeling anxious, like ask like, am I right now? Like, have I been giving myself to the things that I know I should give myself to? Have I been in the Word? Have I been prayer? And let me just say, there are times when you will be in the Word and in prayer and you will still feel anxious, but that is still step one. Like that is still the first thing. Like you abiding in Christ is the blanket, you know, that goes over all of this, the umbrella, if you will. Like that is always step one. And so I'd always ask people like first, like, have you told God that you're anxious, like confessed it, like let him meet you there.
No, absolutely. And if you don't deal with that and you're just using other things to cope with your anxiety, it's not going to help. And we see that played out now because I think like for a season we thought if we vacation or we have these hobbies, like that will deal with it. And what's happened because of social media is now your vacation isn't as good as their vacation. And the answer to all this is more money. Like all these people on Instagram who are like, this is how you live life. I'm like, You live in 38.
That's right.
You have to have a ton of money. Your answer, I'm not saying that it's not helpful for you, but that doesn't work for the average person.
Exactly.
But the gospel, the scripture, it works for everyone across socioeconomic
background. Yes, exactly. Amen.
Like so those are a tool. Yeah. Vacations are a tool, and I'm not anti-vacation.
Rest is good. I think the principle is like we should be disciplined in our rest and unplugging. Like that should happen. However, like you can't then be anxious about like, is my experience going to be as great as someone else? Like, no, rest.
Yeah. And some of y'all, you need to rest. Like I said this in the 9:30. I didn't mean to say it, and maybe it was the Holy Spirit, or maybe I shouldn't have said it. But like, golly, like you take a vacation and then you're already like, I need another vacation.
I need a vacation from a vacation.
Hello.
Yeah.
You're complaining about your kids' activities, but you signed them all up for them. Like you're the one doing this. Like,
yeah.
And it's because you're not recalibrating because you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus like you should.
Yeah. 100%. Well, like, I think no one should be anxious anymore after all that. Or maybe maybe we're more. I don't know. But I think
my voice makes people anxious sometimes. But I mean, mainly Christy Ross. But.
She's like, oh, I can't. Yeah, I think, just first, are you going to Jesus? Are you resting and abiding him? And then are you walking with other people in this? Like, are there people who will help you carry the load? Or if you're being ridiculous about it, being like, hey, I think you're just overthinking this, or you've stretched yourself too thin, and that's why this is the source of your anxiety. Are there people, are there truth tellers who love Jesus and love you, who will just be like, this is why you're anxious, and you're actually afraid of this, or you're overthinking all the possible outcomes. That's me. I'll think about, but what if they respond this way, and what if this, and I need to tailor. And like, no, you just got to be, you got to go.
I've realized so much, like just from pastor, and I guess maybe I'm getting to the age, like people will be talking to me about their situation. And I'm like, No one said that. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, I don't say this to them, just so you know, but like, I'm like, you're hearing this in your head. Yeah. Like, and I know I do that too. Yep. So I'm not.
And you're attributing it to someone else because you think that's what they would say. Yeah. And we're already there.
It's Satan too. I mean, I'm not.
Comes maybe to steal, it's kill, Satan,
you know, like, yeah.
I don't know. Could it be Satan? Yeah. The church, good old church lady.
Man. Yeah. You just hit on that though. Mm-hmm. We need truth tellers in our life. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we talked about that the week before too. Like, those voices in our head, like, we need the word of God and we need brothers and sisters in Christ who are like, hey.
Yeah. Who are with us, who are with each other and not jerks.
Tell us about the lettuce in our teeth.
It also can be, that's right. Tell us you got the thing stuck right there. Or,
do
you know?
Do you know that? After I preached that, people kept joking, like, do you have anything in my teeth? And Jack Skiles came up to me at Chick-fil-A and was like, hey, man, you got lettuce in your teeth. I was like, aha. He's like, no, seriously. You have lettuce in your teeth.
And you're like, why do I keep getting lettuce in my teeth?
I know. So it's the way my teeth are formed.
There you go.
So not only do we have our noses, but I have my teeth, too.
Hey, there you go. All right. So
how long did we talk about that?
I think a while. I don't know. So
should we end or do we want to?
We could end. I mean, I don't know.
I don't want to rob.
I don't want to.
People have their content.
Okay, well,
it's July 4th. Let's talk about it. You can shut this off right now if you want to.
If that was enough for you, go on your merry way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tune in next week. So, questions regarding us July 4th week, and so patriotism. Should we, as churches, do patriotic services? And we've talked about this one before.
Yeah, so we can answer it shortly.
And I think
concisely.
I think there's like in the as far as the corporate gathering for worship. Sunday mornings, no. But can the church do patriotic things? Yeah, we're doing a big 4th of July thing. I mean, great. Right. Can a church do a big 4th of July celebration like in the sanctuary, not on Sunday morning? I'd say sure, but it needs to be clear this isn't a worship service. Hey, we're doing a patriotic musical or we're doing – that's fine. But I think it's just
– the ones that do, I mean – that most of those people are well-meaning. They're not.
They're
don't
not like. Yeah, I.
They're
agree.
Not like
they're,
God no is second. You know.
Yes,
America's first. God is second. They love their country, and we should
pray
like
for our country.
I do find it
leaders.
Weird. I have friends who are like, love your city, love your neighborhood. Don't love your country. Like I do have some more progressive Christian friends. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like I love America.
Yeah.
I want my neighborhood to thrive. Like I want to seek the welfare of the country. Like, I just think that maybe it's easy to do that in a setting where you're mono ethnic and
yeah.
And, I just think that it's there's not a place for it in worship services about Jesus.
Yeah, agreed. And I love the
country. His kingdom.
Love a country. All right. Reflections on last week's presidential debate. That's a great reflection right there. Woo. Listen.
Y'all.
Our older kids are teenagers, and so we're trying to help them, you know, like, let's listen and watch. And they hear stuff at school. They hear stuff around. And so we're like trying to watch them. And it was
a lot of pro-Biden people in Niceville.
Tons. It was hard to watch. Both
it
of them.
It was terrible.
I think it just confirmed, like, Trump's a jerk and Biden is potentially, like, losing his faculties. I mean, that was my takeaway. Like, I don't know. I was like, while I'm like, hey, these guys are in their 70s, 80s, and I'm thrilled that we have people, like, not just them, but people in this country and people in our church who are still like, I'm serving, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm also like, I think it's like, hey, guys, maybe time fast torch.
I respect that we have a lot of people in our church who are in that demographic who want to be active in serving, but recognize maybe not being the lead role for various reasons, but want to give their voice.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
very
need their
involved.
Voice.
And yeah. I really do appreciate that. So, and I realize that there's not a number on that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that differs
Everybody's
for different,
different.
People based
yep.
on how God gives them. Yeah, I think to me, the challenge, so back to patriotism, like, mm-hmm. A lot of people want younger people to be more enthusiastic about this nation. But this is what they've known for 10 years about the chief citizen of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this, guys, I hate this phrase, but we can do better.
Yeah.
And there's no, I love you and I hear the, hey, but his policies are good. I understand 20 somethings don't care.
Yeah.
And they're not going to care. And if I were getting the job done at a church, you're like, that's different. You know, it is different. But there were serious character issues.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like,
that's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. Yeah.
And I know it's not the same qualifications for a pastor. Mm-hmm. But historically, there has been a morality, a dignity associated with the office that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And
it's
young
hard to recover,
people,
to recover that. I mean, I don't even know how you begin to recover that. So, yeah, I think your first reaction was.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to summarize it. It was hard to watch. You want to answer that? Or we could probably save that one for later.
That's
we're
fine.
Gonna, this is
that's
yeah.
Fine.
All right. We'll save that because we're going to be talking about that in the fall. So there you go. All right. Well. We'll answer those questions.
So we talked about how you cannot be anxious. Then we talked about something that probably makes just about everybody anxious.
Everyone a little bit anxious.
Yeah.
So, hey, we've got one more episode before we take a little break for the rest of the summer. So just be sure to stay tuned.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in for this one, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.